Well, by now most of you know that I've begun a new series preaching through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and I'd like to read from the beginning, if I may, again. And our concentration this morning is the latter part of verse 6 and on into verse 7. So let's read it together. This is Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So you'll remember, some of you, last week that I dealt with the first part of verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. Christians are not only spoken of in this passage as saints. That's what they are. That's how God sees them. But they're also God's holy people. They're blessed with every spiritual blessing. They have been chosen, they have been predestinated, and to cap it all, the Apostle Paul says that they have been made the sons of God. They now enjoy a place in God's family. Christ is their elder brother. They are joint heirs, they are co-heirs with Christ. And I put it to you, that in all the world's religions, you can put them all together. I don't care what you do or what you call them. There is nothing that can come anywhere near to what we have discovered here in Ephesians in these first 6 verses. And we see that it is all because of God's glorious grace. Now, some of you have wonderfully told me recently that you believe that you have come to faith in Christ, that the Lord has saved you, that you have put your faith in him, and that you have trusted him to be your Saviour. What wonderful news. It's the best news I could ever have. And I've had some pretty good news this year. But that is the very best of news. But you must learn to say with every other Christian, let's praise his glorious grace. Let's now live up to the family name. Live up to the family name. You are being called now into sonship. You're in the family. Christ is your elder brother. Live up to the family name and always, always, always ascribe to God thanksgiving and praise for his glorious grace to you. Now, I want to draw your attention to the last part of the 6th verse. And you can look at it there. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And I'll just tell you what it says in the Authorized Version. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So let me point up some vital things. It's the glorious grace of God which saves a person from their condition, and it is that glorious grace of God which saves them, not in part, but entirely. It's not as if God says, it's my glorious grace and a bit of what you do, and a bit of what you impart, and a bit of you being the right kind of person. No, not at all. God says he'll never share his glory with another. So Paul says this is to his glorious grace that he has saved people like us. So don't try to steal his glory from him. Don't say you did this and you did that, and he was in the right place and I'm the right kind of person. Don't be a thief. I've met Christians who are downright thieves who have never learned to give, listen to the word, all the glory to God, not some of it. And I always remember John Calvin saying this. He said, do you know, Christians are like this. They'll steal from God, if they can, his glory, even to the point of the pin. Even to the point of the pin to get something for themselves. And say, it wasn't all of you, Lord. It was some of me. Ah, but the apostle says, to the praise of his glorious grace. And we find it perhaps hard, but we should learn this morning to say all to the glory of God. And I want each and every one of us this morning to learn with the Ephesians that like them, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So you are like them this morning if you're a Christian. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Therefore, give all the glory to God. Now, there's a further reason added here for giving praise to his glorious grace. And you can see it in the text. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely. And I focus on that word, he has freely given. To every believer, I say this. He has freely given. And I say this now to anyone who says, I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian. That's honest of you. It's the best thing that you could say if it's true of you. God says freely. And it's worth giving a bit of time to this. It's like this. That this wonderful grace of God. Listen carefully. It can't be worked up. It can't be brought up by your energy. Someone says, I've got a technique. Oh yes, how interesting. And I can show you what the technique is to bring up the grace of God for your life. Someone might say, oh, if you deeply yearn enough, I've heard this. And I'm warning every one of you, those who say you have to deeply yearn for this. You've got to have the right kind of desire. You've got to have the right kind of motive to know this grace of God. But I'm about to ask, what is the right kind of motive? What is the right kind of desire? And who will determine the depth of someone's yearning? How will you ever know it's been deep enough? And I've seen people left high and dry because they did not know, was my yearning deep enough? Did I feel it deeply enough? Did I get it up from within myself? Did I feel sufficiently and profoundly enough? And I'll tell you what this smacks of. I can smell it miles away. It smells of works, of your works, of our works, of what we can do. And you know, it leaves that person profoundly feeling inadequate. But I'll tell you the kind of grace that I believe in. It's in the text, and I repeat it over and over again. Free, 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 free. It is the free grace of God, and Paul strikes it home to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given. I don't want to hear anybody saying to someone, oh, you have to be yearning from within, and you have to feel it deeply. I'm going to give you an illustration. Imagine it. Just imagine it. We see an advert for a car dealership offering free cars. Well, which one of us wouldn't go for it? Free cars. But when they go, they say anyone can have one as long as you desire it enough. And as long as you yearn deeply enough to have one. Do you know that car dealership is never going to give away a car? Because they'll always say to you, you didn't yearn deeply enough. You didn't desire for it enough. And then there's another car dealership that says we're giving cars away free. And they're free. Which one are you going to go to? And this is what I've never understood about people who want actually to turn to themselves rather than turn to God and his free grace. It's free, friends. The grace of God in Christ Jesus, he's free, and it's free for everyone and for anyone who will come to him. I've often found it that people say, I don't want to have felt that I was totally beholden to the Lord. What? You can be totally beholden to him. Let him freely give you of his grace and of his mercy and his loving kindness, and let it be his. And then you'll be able to say, it was not a bit of myself, but it was all of him. Here it is. The Christians at Ephesus, they were blessed with every spiritual blessing that any Christian could ever know, and it was free of charge. It was free of charge. Wouldn't you be interested in going to that car dealership if it really was free of charge and you could just walk away? Of course you would. Why on earth would anyone not go to the Lord and seek his free grace to them? What would hold you back? What would stop you? When it's free, with no strings attached, and as we read in Isaiah chapter 55, without cost. Without cost, freely given. But it's not just freely, it says, it's freely given. And I want to say this to all of you, that the God of the Bible is the God who gives. He is so wonderful. He is so full of giving. We know this because he gave his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into our world. You might say, oh, I've met Christians who are mean. Well, I've met Christians who are mean. But you have never met the God of the Bible and found him to be mean. He is a God who gives and goes on giving and goes on giving. So this grace is freely given to anyone who would believe. I've got a friend in America, I must have told you this before. And he is a man in a position with very, very good means. Ample, tremendous means. And I know that there is something that comes to him every month, which is probably, I don't know quite what it is, we might call it a pension or something like that. And every month, he puts it into an envelope, in dollars, $350 or whatever. And then he leaves this envelope in all different places throughout the town where he lives, in the bus station, in the library, in the courts, wherever. And he just leaves it. And inside is the $350. And whoever wants it can pick it up and take it. And they do. And he does it always. And he never stops doing it. Giving is always impressive, friends. Giving is always impressive. And so the grace of God that is given to us is very, very impressive. And if you've never seen it like this, freely given, you've not really understood the message of Christianity. It's beyond our imagination, but here it is, so clearly set before us. So I say this to all of you, remember it. God asks no payment, he asks no works or energies from deep within us, only the bringing of ourselves. Can't you bring yourself? With your sin, with who you really are, and apply to him. And say, Lord, I've come to you just as I am. This is not getting something up from within you. This is coming to him honestly, just as you are, with your sins and your repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And I promise you, from the word of God, you will know what it is to be a Christian and to have every spiritual blessing. Now, you'll notice, as we read on, it says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So, this grace, for which they are to be very thankful for, which is free and is given, comes up by a means. It comes up by a vehicle. And it's most important that I point you to that now. It's given, it says, in the one he loves. The Authorized Version says, it's given in the Beloved. Because it's only as we are joined to Jesus Christ. People say, can I just believe in God? No, it's an impossibility. It is as we are joined to his beloved Son, as we come to Christ by faith, that we know the blessings of Almighty God. So I say to all of you this morning, it hinges upon Christ. Everything hinges upon him. Why do you think we go on about him and tell forth his name constantly? It is because everything hinges on Christ. So let's put it like this. Let's say, okay, you've become a Christian, which means that you're pardoned, you're forgiven, you have peace with God, you're cleansed, you're reborn, you now have the gift of the Holy Spirit, you are a son, you are justified. But only because it is given to you in the one he loves. There is none of this, not any of it, that can ever come to any one of us apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone might say, I've heard this, because I'm keen on inviting people to come to church, like here this morning. Not for a religious experience, not for that, but to ask them to come under the sound of God's word. Because it's the word of God which will speak to people's heart. Now, I want them to come, but I've heard people say, well, I'll just come to church. I'll come to church all my life, if you like. That won't get you the blessing. I'll get baptized. That won't do it. I'll make a major study of Christianity. That won't do it. No, it has to be that you must be joined to God's beloved Son for any of this grace of God to come to us. For the benefit of some of you particularly, I repeat what the Authorized Version says of this text. It says, he has made us accepted in the Beloved. Have you ever felt unaccepted? Well, one day, when we meet God, who is our Maker, we will feel the ultimate sense of being unaccepted. We will not be accepted. The only way that we can be accepted with God now while we're alive is to be accepted in Christ, to come to him. There is no other way. So to be accepted in God's beloved Son is quite extraordinary. I chose the reading in Romans to lead you to this verse. He that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also together with him, graciously give us all things? You've got to be with him. You've got to be joined to him. He's got to be in your heart. You've got to be joined. You've got to be in his life and him in your life. How will he not also graciously with him give us all things? So let me put it like this. Have you ever asked anyone to do you a favor? Yes, all of us have. And somebody will say, I'm returning the favour. Well, you can never return God's favour. But to be a Christian is to be in the favour of Almighty God. So when we come to him, listen carefully now, he wants all of his goods, not some of them, all of his goods, to be ours. All of them. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also together with him graciously give us all things? And so now you see it. You've become a son if you're a believer. You're in the family. You've got the family likeness. The favour of God rests upon you. He has freely, graciously given you everything. And it's all because, watch now, it's like this. It's because you fit like hand in a glove. in terms of your life being joined to Jesus Christ. Let me quote from a great hymn. I love the great old hymns, you know that. Listen to this hymn. A mind at perfect peace with God. It reads like this, so near, so very near to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. I am as near to God as Jesus Christ is near to God because of him. Now, if you can better it, I want to hear it. Come and see me afterwards and tell me you know something better than this. Paul says, accepted in the beloved. You see, the grace that has been given us is in the one he loves. So friends, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, come to him. Come to him just as you are. I won't question your deep yearnings and your passions, whether you ask well enough. I will just simply say, did you come to him as you were with your sins and believe in him? And this means that then we have come to the very highest place. We have been accepted because of the Saviour. Perhaps you're worried this morning, some of you. Will God ever accept me? Of course he'll accept you. He'll accept anybody. It does not matter who they are. But they must come to God's dear Son. I finish this section with this illustration that I used last week. The picture of the down and out man in that old shop doorway in Leeds or London or Manchester. You've seen him. Maybe he's a tramp. You might call him that. Or a beggar. We've all seen such people. Perhaps he's filthy, dirty, and smells, and perhaps there's an odour about him. Perhaps he looks very broken by this life. Broken inwardly and broken outwardly. Perhaps there's alcohol abuse or drug abuse, who knows. But we have all seen these people who are in great need and sleeping rough on our streets. And I mentioned this last week. And this person's life that's wrecked, you see it. And you don't go to this person with a cup of coffee or with burger and chips. But instead you go to him and you put your arm around him and you say, come with me. And you put him in your car and you take him back to your house and you say, come and live with me. Not only come and live with me, but this is your home. And now you are a member of my family. And not only that, you are an heir. You have a right to everything that I own. I am the master of a great estate, and everything that is mine is yours. Paul says we have been adopted into sonship. That's us. That's us, friends. I'm struck still that people today are not moved by the glory of the Christian gospel. Which one of you is willing to do it? I don't see many hands. You get in your car and go to Leeds this afternoon or to London or Manchester. You can find such a person. You can do it. But you see, we're not going to do it because we're not like the Lord. And he is like that towards all of us. How shall he not also together with him give us all things? What riches have you come into by becoming a Christian, by being joined to the Saviour? So I say to everyone, come to him and seek God's grace, but seek it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to thoroughly deal with you know, what goes on in verse 7. In him we have redemption. But I'm just going to introduce it quickly so that we've got something to go on with next week. It says, you look at the text, verse 7. In him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now that in itself should speak to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one alone who can forgive us our sins. Remember, Paul has told them that they're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, can there be anything higher in effect than this? That they have been blessed by being redeemed. The blessing of redemption. Every Christian can say, I have been redeemed. And what's the fundamental idea of being redeemed? It is this. It is that picture of setting something or someone free. So you can get the picture in your mind. Think of someone or something that's captive and then setting that something or someone free. Making them free when once they were captured. That's the picture of redemption. It's the idea of release. So picture a captive in the strong hands of a master, perhaps a slave master. You can all picture it. And the best illustration I've got for you regarding this redemption, this release, this setting free from captivity, is the picture that is borne out by the history in that tragic and dreadful American Civil War. I'll quickly explain it to you. It was fought over many issues, but Abraham Lincoln said it was pure and simple about one thing. And I should know, he said, it was about slavery, about setting slaves free. And what happened was, if you draw a line in the United States and you see the Mississippi River, those new territories that were west of the Mississippi, that were burgeoning new territories like Kansas, the bigwigs in Washington said, you can go there. You can go there. You can occupy the new territories. But you can't take your slaves with you. You can't go to Kansas and take your slaves with you. And of course, the slave owners, the landowners in the South, this is what they said. Well, we own mules. We own donkeys. We own horses and goats. Sheep and cattle, we'll be taking them. And therefore, we'll be taking our slaves with us. That's what they said. And upon this matter, yes, others, but mainly this matter, the American Civil War, that bloody, dreadful war, was fought. The war was waged to redeem slaves, to set them free, to release them from a place of bondage. And it was a tragic war of untold suffering and blood of the worst kind. Men fought in completely foreign places. I say that for a reason. The Lord Jesus came to our world and he fought in a completely foreign place in our world. Those soldiers in the north, they went down to the savannah and they fought there. And it was in a climate and a world that they'd never seen. But they gave their blood for the freedom of slaves who they had never met. They gave up their precious lives for the sake of people just to set them free. In him we have redemption through his blood. If you're a real Christian, you'll say, I have been bought with a price. That's to quote the Apostle Paul. You've been bought with a price, the precious lifeblood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can understand very well this morning, and there'll be those of you here who are like this. You never have a word to say about God. You never have a word of praise for him. You never express your love for him. You'd never serve him. You'd never say to somebody, I love the Lord. I can understand that. Of course I can. Because you've never been redeemed. You've never been redeemed. Because if you had, you'd say, I owe him my life. He is so precious to me. He means everything. He has spent his precious blood for a worm like me. I am that beggar in that doorway. And he has done this for me. And I hated him, and I blasphemed him, and I cursed him, and I lived against his ways. And I was dead set against everything that he stood for. And yet he came after me to release me from the bondage of my sin. I'm only opening up to you the idea of redemption this morning, forgiveness by his blood. And I'll say more about it next week. But I'm going to close. And I'll close like this, with the words of the hymn that were written by Fanny Crosby so many years ago. Boy, would I have liked to have met her. We could have sung her hymns together. Praise him, she says, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. And she just goes on, praise him, praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Have you got words of praise for Jesus this morning? If you have like this, it's because he is your Redeemer. He has purchased you with his precious blood. For that's why he came to the earth. The Bible says to purchase men, women for God, to die for them, to save them, that they might be his in his family, sons and daughters. Fanny Crosby would say, here's the Emancipation Proclamation, long before Abraham Lincoln thought of it, that the love of God that is in Christ Jesus melt our hearts. And let us be drawn to that emancipation, a freedom from the slavery of ourselves, and brought into the glorious knowledge of the sons of God. God bless his word to us. Amen.